call this meeting to order. Stacy, can I have a roll call, please?
Karen Bounds.
Here.
Loretta Broomfield.
Here.
Frank Buckingham. Ann Chandler.
Here.
Jenna Griffith. Sarah Hill.
Here.
Kevin Kelsey.
Here.
Tammy Kraus. Christy Lear.
Here.
I see Frank now. Frank Buckingham. Okay. Josh Short.
Here.
Melissa Tedesco.
Here.
Christy Walker.
Here.
And back, Linda McDonald.
Here.
Okay, I hear you now. Tammy Kraus.
Yeah,
right.
Jenna Griffith. Okay, thank you.
Frank, I'm getting a lot of background noise on yours. I'm just hearing a lot of like background voices.
I could mute it for the most of the meeting, and I'll try to see what else I can do.
Okay, that'd be great.
All right, how about our staff at Carbondale?
This is Troy Brown.
This is Leslie Bender. Ellen Poppett. Anna Yackel.
Our Champagne office. Dr. Thomas here. I don't see her. Okay. And finally, or how about Edwardsville?
Stacey Bushon,
Rhonda Jonassy,
Jill Trevino,
Christy Walker.
And our staff on Zoom?
Jennifer Baugh.
Height.
Casey Parr.
Shirley Payton.
Cassandra Thompson.
All right. And how about from the Illinois State Library?
Hi there, Mandy Saya.
Okay. All right. So I want to welcome all of our new board members. Attached is your commitment to serve. You can review. That's actually from what Leslie wrote. So attached is your commitment to serve, which I think we will go over later. But would anyone like to introduce themselves that is new to the board?
Sure. Hi, my name is Melissa Tedesco. I'm the new school library board member. My school is O'Fallon Township High School in O'Fallon, Illinois.
I'm Christy Walker. My home library is with Alta Illinois. I'm on the board of directors there, and I am really excited to get started.
Hi, I'm Dr. Frank Buckingham, retired veterinarian, and I am at the Case Halsted Public Library. I'm also employed over at Southwestern Illinois College. Thanks.
I'm Christy Lear, and I am representing special libraries. I work at the Illinois State Archives.
All right. And do I need a motion for this, Leslie, to do the commitment to serve?
Not for the commitment to serve, but we do need a motion to approve Christy Lear.
Okay. All right. So Christy Lear is going to be joining us because we had to have the person who was elected wasn't able to take the position. So I do need a motion and second to approve Christy to the board.
I'll make that motion.
Second. I'll second it.
Okay. We have a motion and a second. Any further discussion? Stacy, can I have a roll call, please?
Karen Bounds?
Yes.
Loretta Brimfield?
Yes.
Frank Buckingham?
Yes.
Anne Chandler?
Yes.
Sarah Hill?
Yes.
Kevin Kelsey?
Yes.
Tammy Kraus?
Yes.
Christy Lear? Sorry. Linda McDonald?
Yes.
Josh Short?
Yes.
Melissa Tedesco?
Yes.
Christy Walker?
Yes.
Thank you.
Okay. Welcome to the board, Christy. Next is my final thing I'll be doing as president, which is election of officers. The ballot was included in your board packet, and we will be voting electronically. Troy will send everyone a text message with a link to the ballot. We will also accept nominations from the floor. Does anyone have any nominations from the floor? Can I have a motion to approve the ballot that is being sent?
I'll make that motion.
Thank you, Melissa. Do I have a second?
Linda, second.
Okay, we motion and a second. Any further discussion? Okay, can I have a roll call vote, Stacy?
Karen Bounds?
Yes.
Loretta Brimfield?
Yes.
Frank Buckingham?
Yes.
Yes.
Sarah Hill?
Yes.
Kevin Kelsey?
Yes.
Amy Kraus?
Yes.
Christy Lear?
Yes.
Linda McDonald?
Yes.
Josh Short?
Yes.
Melissa Tedesco?
Yes.
Christy Walker.
Yes.
Thank you.
All right. So if you have the ballot pulled up, Troy should have made it available. And if you don't, I believe he's going to send everyone a text message.
You should have already received your text message before this meeting. And it's also in your board email account, just in case that didn't go through. But you can now vote by following that link, and we'll wait for everybody to show up. Stacy, how many people, what's the count that we're expecting on the number of votes? Should have counted.
Well, does everyone here votes?
13?
12.
Is anybody having trouble finding the link?
Are you texting it to us? You should have it on your text, he said. Troy, Christy did not receive my text.
Okay, well, she's new, and maybe we didn't test that ahead of time.
It's also in your board email.
Yeah. So if you can't find it, we can take a verbal vote.
Her Wi-Fi, she's not able to connect to the Wi-Fi here.
Okay. Do you wish, there's only one candidate per seat since there were no floor nominations. Are there any that you'd like to abstain from voting for? Otherwise, we have the 11 other votes, and the voting is unanimous. No, I don't believe there's any abstain. Oh, wait, we have one abstain for secretary. But otherwise, the ballot passed, or the slate of officers is passed.
All right. So I will like to welcome our new board of officers, our president, Karen Bounds, vice president, Linda McDonald, secretary, Tammy Krause, and treasurer, Kevin Latos. And that means I don't have to do this anymore and pass it over to Karen. Welcome, Karen.
Hey, thanks, Josh. Thank you. Thank you for your last couple of years of serving as president. Appreciate it. You've done a good job. Okay, it's been a while since I've done this, so bear with me. I may be a mite rusty. Okay, we're to the consent agenda. We need a motion and a second to accept the agenda, consent agenda, as listed. It's to be enacted by one motion. Committee and staff reports may also be included as information items. There will be no separate discussion of these unless the board member so requests, in which event the item will be removed from the consent agenda discussion.
I'd like the minutes pulled, and then I'd like one bill from Fort Harrison pulled for a separate vote.
Take care of that when we get the bills. All right, let's go for approval of the June 20th, 23 minutes. It's your attachment 6.1.
This is Josh. I'll make that motion to approve.
We have a second.
Second, Linda.
Thank you, Linda. Stacy, can we have a roll call vote, please?
Karen Bounds.
Yes.
Loretta Brickfield.
Yes.
Frank Buckingham.
Yes.
Ann Chandler.
No.
Sarah Hill.
Yes.
Kevin Kelsey.
Yes.
Tammy Krause.
Yes.
Christy Lear.
Yes.
Linda McDonald.
Yes.
Josh Short.
Yes.
Melissa Tedesco.
Yes.
Christy Walker.
Yes.
Okay, moving on to the director and staff activity report. Need a motion and a second.
I'll make the motion.
Okay.
I'll second.
Thank you. Roll call again, please.
Karen Bounds.
Yes.
Red Broomfield.
Yes.
Frank Buckingham.
Yes.
Ann Chandler.
Yes.
Sarah Hill.
Yes.
Kevin Kelsey.
Yes.
Tammy Krause.
Yes.
Christy Lear.
Yes.
Linda McDonald.
Yes.
Josh Short.
Yes.
Melissa Tedesco.
Yes.
Christy Walker.
Yes.
Okay, motion carried. Moving on to action item number 7, acceptance of June bills, June 2023, attachment 7.1. We need a motion and a second, and I believe Ann had a question.
No, move. No, I just...
Let's get the motion and the second.
All right.
So I'm sorry, but if she wants to pull something out, I'll move to accept with the exceptions that Ann defined.
And I'll second it.
Okay. What is your question?
It isn't a question, it's an objection to Ford and Harrison have gone up to $460 an hour now. When they're perfectly good lawyers that are not nearly that much. So I can't support it.
I will say that we did at our last when we approved the budget, we did approve the list of legal representation for this budget year.
And that's fine, but I'm pulling the bill out because of the amount of money that it's costing us.
So do we need a separate vote on that bill?
Yes, you would have to have a separate vote on that bill.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. Okay, we have the motion and second on pulling that particular bill. Could we have a roll call vote, please?
Sorry, I have a question. Are we voting yes to pull it, or are we voting yes to approve everything except for that at this point?
We're voting to pull that particular bill. We will have another motion to approve the rest of them.
Sorry. Okay. The motion is to approve except that item. So the vote would be to approve those all other items. Then you'll have a motion and second for that item separate.
Okay. I'm sorry. I misunderstood.
No worries.
So our motion at this point is to accept all of the bills except that one.
Yep.
And we have our motion and we have our second. So could I have a roll call vote, please?
Karen Bounds.
Yes.
Loretta Brimfield.
Yes.
Frank Buckingham.
Yes.
Ann Chandler.
Yes.
Sarah Hill.
Yes.
Kevin Kelsey.
Yes.
Tammy Krause.
Yes.
Christy Lear.
Yes.
Linda McDonald.
Yes.
Josh Short.
Yes.
Melissa Tedesco.
Yes.
Christy Walker.
Yes.
Thank you. Motion carried. Now, on this specific bill.
Yes, you'll need a motion and a second to approve.
Okay.
I'll move.
I'll second that.
Okay.
Clarify, it's to approve what?
Just the attorney fee bill that was.
Just to accept it and then have to vote on it or what?
No.
We're voting on it as a separate item, is my understanding.
Right. Just voting to approve it, just like you approve all the other checks.
We just pulled that one to do it separately.
Right.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
Gotcha.
And I think we have our motion and second. May I have a roll call, please?
Karen Bounds.
Yes.
Red Brimfield.
Yes.
Frank Buckingham.
Yes.
Ann Chandler.
No.
Jenna Griffith. Sarah Hill.
Yes.
Kevin Kelsey.
Yes.
Tammy Krause.
Yes.
Christy Lear.
Yes.
Linda McDonald.
Yes.
Josh Short.
Yes.
Melissa Tedesco.
Yes.
Christy Walker.
Yes.
Okay, motion carried. Thank you, and sorry about the confusion. Let's see. If you will look at attachment 8.1, the June financial reports are considered draft as the audit is the final version of the June financial report. Do you need to say anything about that?
Well, we will have the audit ready for all of you to look at in September. It goes first to the finance committee. The auditors will present to the finance committee and then they present to the board.
Okay.
You want me to review some of the narrative, some of the items on the financial statements yet, or?
Yes.
Okay. Okay. Just to review and highlight a few things, like Karen and Leslie mentioned, these are draft financial statements as of June 30th, 2023, and the final audited statements will be presented to you at the September Finance Committee meeting by the auditors, along and then again at the September board meeting to all of you. As far as the grants, we have received all of our grant funding except for the last fourth quarter of the library trustee training grant, which we did request a reimbursement of $60,016.13 in the fourth quarter grant report. Since that is a federal grant, it's a reimbursement after the expenses have been expended in that quarter, we receive payment back from the state. So, like I mentioned, those financial reports are as of June 30th. And in the column, the IHLS approved FY 2023 total budget remaining percentage for June 30th, it should be 0%. So any negative items are listed with an explanation at the bottom of each statement of revenue and expenditure. And then on the general fund, just to highlight a few things, the total revenues came in at the actuals above budget by 4.1%. And the total expenses are below, actuals are below year-to-date budget by 15.2%. And the year-to-date actuals on that statement right now, before we've done any kind of audited adjustments, are the revenue over expenditures is $426,582.61. And Leslie originally reported, I think a few months ago to you all, that it was estimated to end around 300,000. So we will wait until the audit is complete in September. And then after that, we'll recommend moving that revenue over expenditure amount to the capital projects fund. And then in the share statement of revenue and expenditures, the year-to-date actuals of for fees for services and materials, a total of $1,470,438.04. And that represents 97.1% of the FY23 budgeted amount. And then as of June 30th, we collected 99.2% of that amount. And then on the total expenditures, the year-to-date actuals came below year-to-date budget by 8%. So share ended really well also. And then the balance sheets, the cash and cash equivalents for general fund as of June 30th were $5,486,700.62. And that would fund the general fund operations for an estimated 14.1 months based on the FY23 budget. And then in share, that cash and cash equivalents for June 30th was a total of $2,410,880.16. And that's broken into three parts. So the share reserve funds are for their computer and software major platform expenditures. And that amount was $1,292,369.97. And then in the committed funds, that's for ebook cloud subscription purchases, the money that's set aside for purchases for that program. And that with total was $46,777.66. And then in the unrestricted is the share operating cash. And that ended at $1,071,732.53. So that amount would fund share operations for approximately 6.7 months based on the FY23 operation budget. Does anybody have any questions for me? Okay, thank you.
Thank you. I got you next time. Okay, moving on to the Freedom of Information Act. We had two requests this month. The first was from Smart Procure requesting our quarterly purchasing records. The second was from NBC Chicago requesting information on any requests regarding book banning received for our library. Both requests were answered in the time allowed. Moving on to Open Meetings Act, we have nothing to report there, concerns. Public comment as of July 25th at 4 p.m., we didn't have any. And next up is the Illinois State Library report.
Hi there, good afternoon, everybody. Can you hear me okay?
Yes, we can.
All right, awesome. Okay, so Secretary Janulius recently sent award letters for FY24 grant funding. Press releases will be issued in the coming days, but here's a preview for your system and members. First, congratulations for receiving your system area and per capita grant, your cataloging maintenance center grant, LSTA grants to support trustee training, and technology grant to support OCLC services. The system area and per capita grant payment schedule will be considerably different this year. There's no longer a live and learn fund, so payments are expected to be issued much faster. 10 IHLS members were awarded just over $180,000 for Project Next Generation grants. We have Stinson Memorial Public Library District, Carbondale Public Library, and West Lindsay District Library, Mississippi Valley Library District, Glen Carbon Centennial Library District, Harrisburg Public Library District, Marion Carnegie, Muskuta Public Library, Petersburg Public Library, and Sparta. Also, you had 5 radio stations in Belleville, Carbondale, Godfrey, Mount Carmel, and Urbana that received over $190,000 for the Talking Book and Braille Service Radio Information Service grants to support content for people of all ages with a vision disability who are eligible for Talking Book services. These stations read content that is not normally heard on local news broadcasts. And so on to literacy grants. Mattoon Public Library and many academic agencies and organizations within IHLS were awarded adult volunteer literacy grants, Penny Severin's family literacy grants, and workplace skills enhancement literacy grants. The grant at academic institution goes to the adult education department rather than the library. Other statewide projects funded to member libraries within IHLS include Carly and the University of Illinois for the Illinois Library Delivery Services, the Illinois Department of Veterans Affairs to support libraries at the 4 veterans homes statewide, and the Illinois Department of Corrections to support collection development for 28 libraries and correctional facilities. And I think that's new this year. Alrighty, so the Illinois State Library Advisory Committee meeting scheduled this month was regrettably canceled due to technology issues. Currently, this is being addressed by the Secretary of State's IT staff. And we are looking forward to Directors University next week in Springfield. We support this continuing education activity with grant funds, as well as looking forward to meeting the participants and sharing information about the library, State Library's grants and services. Information about the FY23 system annual report has been emailed to the system with reports due on September 30th. And in August, all eyes turn to the state fairgrounds in Springfield for the Illinois State Fair, which runs August 10th through 20th. This year, we have been working with Illinois Reads, of which Secretary Janulius is the honorary chair, to schedule authors reading at the Illinois Secretary of State's tent. Friday, August 11th, Candace Fleming is going to be there with Eric Roman, and they will be reading Honey Be Mine and Steve Magic. I don't know if I said that right. It's M-A-J-S-A-K. We'll be reading ABC Animals. On Saturday, August 12th, Skylar Shremp will be reading Three Strike Summer, and Kayla Ankrum will be reading Darling. Sunday, August 13th, Alex Perry will be reading Pig Hearted, and Barbara Binns will be reading Courage. So if you are at the fair on these dates, please stop by the Secretary's tent from 11 to 3 and enjoy the authors. I think that's all I have for today for you guys. Thank you so much. This is my first meeting, so I was a little nervous, but you guys are all very welcoming.
And well, thank you for your report.
Yeah, no problem. Does anyone have any questions?
She delivered only good news.
Yes, that's what Kara told me. She's like, you have good news for him today. Like, okay.
I hope for your sake, it's not 110 in the shade when the fair comes.
It's going to be. It's going to be really bad. Unfortunately.
Thank you.
Yeah,
thank you.
No problem. Definitely.
Okay. Communication. Leslie?
Thank you, Karen. Good evening, everyone. Welcome to our first meeting of the fair. We're glad to have you all with us. IHLS has returned to holding Members Matter sessions in person with also an optional online attend at the actual location. So this is something that we started many years ago when we used to go on a quarterly basis to a member library. We would have a networking event. It kind of changed to CE plus networking, and we've always had that let's go out to lunch afterwards and have a conversation. And get to know more about each other, which is also networking. This year, we started, thanks to Kate Kiten, the great schedule she put together. Our first session was last week in Decatur at Public Library, and the topic was the Local Records Act. So that was actually really exciting. We had a lot of folks there. The next one, I think some of you may want to attend or to staff at your public libraries that they may be interested. The topic is paid leave for all libraries or PLAW Act. Presenter is Karen Milner from Fort Harrison firm. And if you're joining us in person, we will be at the Heron Public Library, our Heron City Library, my mistake, on August 17th at 10 a.m. And the session will also be live streamed again for if you cannot attend in person. So please look at the entry in L2 and consider learning about this. It's really exciting, and a lot of our members have had questions about this. Jill Trevino has done a lot of work with our legal counsel together. So thank you.
Thank you. Do you know where that racket is coming from?
Yeah, we're getting some background noise from the Edwardsville conference room. Did maybe you turn up the speaker really loud in the room? It feels like I'm kind of hearing myself.
No, we haven't done anything different.
Okay. If you can hear us okay, you might want to turn down the volume a little, like a few notches. It just started happening, right, when Leslie started her report.
Yeah. Turn it down. I don't know. She was breaking up a little. So.
Yeah,
it's
yeah. Down, not us. Yeah, it was trying to figure out who was talking in Edwardsville. Conference room was just feeding back a little bit, I think.
Fucking a chair being papers.
Yeah, I think it was the echo in the room. So okay, well, we'll keep going and see how it goes.
Okay. American Library Association conference update. At least one board member and several staff were able to participate in the American Library Association's annual conference in Chicago at the end of June. We'd like to hear what stood out for you if you were there. Josh?
It was awesome. I'll say that. I got to really spend a lot of time with our staff and get to know them better. I went to a lot of sessions on book bannings. The expo was insane. I don't think I brought home as many books as Jill did. I think she shipped some home. But I got to meet an author I really liked, Stephen Graham Jones, thanks to Kate Kite. It was really great. It was overwhelming. We did get to do some after hour events. We got to go to a party at Willis/Sears Tower on the 99th floor that Ingram invited us to. I got a lot of advocacy sessions I attended, and on a lot of stuff on building trust for libraries, like actual physical trust. So yeah, it was great. I look forward to ILA this upcoming October to do more networking and more staff stuff. So I think that's all I got.
Anyone else who was there wish to say anything?
I can chime in, Karen. I would just add to what Josh has said. The education ranges all across the spectrum. So there were the really high level sessions on intellectual freedom and book banning. And then there were some really pragmatic ones about what to do in your community during the solar eclipse. Josh talked about networking, and it's an incredible opportunity because we network with colleagues throughout Illinois with whom we work throughout the year, but also we get to meet people from other states and you ask them what they're doing. I ran into a librarian from Alaska who got her start at Edwardsville and a library director from one of the branch libraries in Chicago who got her start in Carbondale. So it's just a wonderful opportunity to interact with peers. And I think I can safely say on the staff's behalf, we truly appreciate the opportunity to attend.
Okay, thank you, Ellen. Anybody else? Not hearing anyone, we'll move on. Board learning, commitment to serve. Leslie?
Stacey Bouchon started a series with us last year and we are continuing it as appropriate. So this month's presentation has to do with board member responsibilities. So get away.
Thank you, everyone. We appreciate your commitment to our board and our members, especially being this is a volunteer position. The fact that you would take your own personal time is very much appreciated. We know that you recognize that you have an important responsibility and undertaking in serving as a member of the board of directors, and you personally pledge to carry out a trustworthy and diligent manner all the duties and obligations inherent in your role as a member of our board. Your role is defined by contributing to defining the library's mission and governing the fulfillment of the mission, carrying out functions of the office of board member as specified in the bylaws. You also focus on development of board policies that govern implementation of the institutional plans and purposes. And this role is separate and distinct from the role of the executive director, to whom is delegated the responsibility of determining the means of implementation of board policies. You also agree to exercise the duties and responsibilities of the office with integrity, fairness, and due care. And you all pledge to establish as high a priority of attendance to all meetings and committees and task forces, to be prepared to contribute to the discussion of issues of business to be addressed at scheduled meetings, to represent the library system in a positive and supportive manner, and to support in a positive manner all actions taken by the board of directors. You also will refrain from intruding in administrative issues that are responsibility of management, except to monitor the results and prohibit methods that are not in agreement with board policy. You'll recognize conflicts of interest between your position as a board member and your personal professional life. If a conflict arises, you will declare that conflict before the board and refrain from voting on matters which you have a conflict with. You observe parliamentary procedures outlined in Robert's Rules of Order, and you make every effort to learn the job of being a board member and seek methods to help yourself function as a better board team. You're participating in the annual strategic planning, board self-evaluation programs, board development workshops, seminars, and other educational events. And if for any reason you find yourself unable to carry out the above duties, you'll agree to resign your position on the board of directors. We really do appreciate your time and commitment to IHLS members. And I am always here to answer questions, especially for the newer board members who are just, you know, getting acclimated to their role. I know it's a huge learning curve, so feel free to reach out at any time. Thank you.
Thank you. All right, move on. Human Resources Staff Report, Attachment 14-1. Leslie?
Thank you, Karen. We are thrilled, I can't say that enough, excited and very pleased to announce the promotion of Colleen Dettenmeyer as the Director of Delivery and Facilities. Colleen is currently our Senior Accountant and will transition to the position on October 14th so that she's still available to assist with the audit. But have no fear, she's already dipped her toe. August 14th. What did I say? October?
You said October.
Oh, no. August 14th. My mistake. Thank you. Have no fear. Colleen is multitasking already and is serving as a resource to our delivery manager. So we're really happy to share that with you. And that's all that we have for the staff report.
Thank you.
Will this position in finance then be replaced?
Yes. We're ready to post it as soon as we can.
All right, thank you.
Okay, secondary employment. We need a motion and a roll call vote. Do we have?
We have one secondary employment. You should have found the form, hopefully, posted on the board intranet. Was everyone able to find it, or did anybody have any difficulty accessing that?
Okay. Well, motion and a
so move.
Second. Thank you. Do we have a second?
Second.
I think five of you did.
Pick one.
Someone say again, please.
Second, Linda.
Thank you. Stacy, we have a roll call, please.
Is this for the staff report and the secondary employment, or is that for both?
This is for secondary employment. The board agreed many years ago when it was a promotion that there is no need for the board to reapprove someone who's already on staff.
Okay, just said action on the agenda, so that's why I wondered. Thank you.
Karen Bounds?
Yes.
Reverend Field?
Yes.
Frank Buckingham?
Yeah. Yes.
Ann Chandler?
Yes.
Sarah Hill?
Yes.
Kevin Kelsey?
Yes.
Tammy Krause?
Yes.
Christy Lear?
Yes.
Linda McDonald?
Yes.
Josh Short?
Yes.
Melissa Tedesco?
Yes.
Christy Walker?
Yes.
Okay, motion carried. Thank you. There's nothing under personnel for this month, so we will move on to committee reports. Executive, Josh.
Hi. We had executive last week, and we went over really everything that we talked about this evening. Paid the bill, or no, we didn't pay the bills. We did the committee reports for that. We went over possible meeting dates and went over how we were going to do the election. It was a pretty light meeting. And that's all I got.
Okay, thank you. Budget and finance, I believe we're to hear from Kevin Kelsey this evening.
Hey, also a light meeting. The reason I knew about splitting out because we talked about it in the committee meeting.
Okay.
We talked about that. We talked about the fact that the audit would be the financials were interim until the audit is complete. That's basically all we talked about.
All right. Thank you. There were no other committees reporting. Nobody met. So we will move on to partner reports. Association of Illinois School Library Educators, no report this month. ILA, is Ryan Johnson here?
No, he's out.
Okay, well, I guess we won't have that report either. And there wasn't an ISLAC meeting because of technical difficulties, was that my understanding?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, okay.
Easy.
Yeah. So we'll move on to unfinished business. Fiscal year 2024 IHLS board meeting dates. That's attachment 17.1.
Thank you, Karen. So we are now at the place where the public emergency created by the pandemic is no more. That emergency ended in the middle of May. And so what we discussed at the executive committee and what I'd love for you all to discuss tonight is what and how can we support you as board members in attending meetings in public? Before the pandemic, we had several physical locations, actual locations for meetings. We had our three hubs, we had the Illinois State Library, and we had a handful of member libraries as well available to meet in public. It's a generally accepted best practice that meetings when we, our meeting via video conferencing tools, that hybrid meetings like the one we're having now are not the best way to go. There's a lot of things that we miss when we're not in the same room. So in lieu of being in the same room, because we're not all in the same community, we don't all live in the same town, library systems started 13 years ago meeting in other physical locations as well as our hubs, to make sure that we could reach a quorum. And the Open Meetings Act does allow us to do that because we have a service area of over 5,000 miles. So what you have on the screen is a map that we put together for all of you. The red pins are the locations of all of you and your public library, based on your public library address, not your home address. The blue pins are our IHLS offices. And then the green pins are locations member public libraries who have served as locations for public the public meeting in the past. And at Springfield, there's a red pin and a green pin. So the red one is for Christy Lear at the State Archives, and the green pin right behind her is where Mandy Saya is, right now at the Illinois State Library, and you're swirling around. Awesome. So
either that or it's a tornado.
no weather.
Don't kid about that.
Just hot. No weather like that. But seriously, all kidding aside, how do you envision going forward in a post-COVID world and being able to meet in public and in a public location that we can, an address that we can list on the agenda? What do you need from the staff to be able to do so?
I would have no problem coming to Edwardsville. I've got a class in like October and November and December that I probably wouldn't be able to make it, but I would get a couple months where I could easily make it to Edwardsville for sure. And I would be willing to tag along if we needed to go to Carbondale. Probably not Champaign. Champaign's a little too long for me.
Is the 5 p.m. start time, has that always been the start time even when people traveled? Because that seems like it would be an issue for people who are working.
So, yes. So the 5 p.m. has been the start time for maybe the last 10 years, but the first several years we waited until 6 p.m. to meet. And what that meant was an even longer evening for folks getting back on the road. But yeah, so 5 p.m. has been there for a while. Melissa.
Thank you.
It takes me an hour and a half, realistically, to drive from where I am down here to Carbondale. And I've done that many times. I don't mind doing it. It's easier for me to get here because it's pretty much a straight shot than to try to get over to Edwardsville. And Champaign is way too far away from me. Mm-hmm. Any other comments?
But we're perfectly legal doing it the way we're doing it. If we couldn't, we could still Zoom in.
I think we need some clarification on that. We were actually going over the Open Meetings Act that is, the statewide general procedures for all state organizations. And there's some language in there that you have to have a quorum at a public facility. Now, for us, that would be a quorum combined at all of our public locations, but it would not include attendees from home. So it would be our preference to not have you attend from home as far as quorums are concerned. But we're going to ask for clarification, I believe, on that, right?
Yeah. Well, I was thinking about weather and, there are a lot of variables that can be brought into this.
Yes, there are. And I'm sorry, did I interrupt someone?
I was just gonna say Tammy's in the middle of nowhere. So nowhere is close for Tammy.
Yes, you can see on the map where Tammy is in southeastern Illinois. Thank you. And the distance that she would have to travel on no big roads, large roads, to get to any of the meeting locations. But that aside, yes, if the weather is inclement in the winter, we have actually in the past, we've canceled meetings mm-hmm. because of the weather so that no one has to travel. And we're willing to work with you all as far as is there a public library in your community that is more convenient for you than one of the ones that we've listed? We know, again, the ones that we've included are capable of supporting this type of a conferencing for a public meeting.
So
but we're willing to work with you.
Just for some clarification on this, we're going to move to the model we had before. It's not feasible for us to get a quorum in one physical location. So this would be a physical, we would have a quorum spread over multiple offices. So
that would be great. Yes, that would be great to have it across multiple locations, physical, public locations.
Okay, so that helps clarify that, Josh. So the idea is still that there's maybe two or three different locations that people go to, and not just one location for each meeting?
Correct.
Yeah. Okay. Again, so like taking the example of Christy Lear, right? You're right in Springfield, and the state library hasn't someone that attends the meeting anyway. I had a short conversation by email with Greg McCormick. He said they're fine to do that. They just need the time to get that set up. So for Christy, that's super convenient, right? For then kind of looking at the map, we've got Ann and Taylorville. I don't know how close you are to Springfield versus, you know, Decatur Public, which is a better location for you to attend. We don't want to open up member library locations if we don't have some idea that members will be able to attend, because that means those are just more locations that we have, that our staff have to be able to support, albeit remotely, from one of our hubs. So if you could consider that and let us know, that would be great. We've also, in the conversation today, when we've been talking about the Open Meetings Act and what does the Open Meetings Act say, because library systems, again, we have a service area over 5,000 square miles, we are different. What does that actually mean for us? And what would that look like, you know, going forward? I can tell you, if you're interested, that the RAILS, which is the Reaching Across Illinois Library System, they are our sister library system in Northern Illinois, approach this differently. They have preferences for how board members will attend. And this has been in place, with the exception of during the, a couple of months or year during the pandemic. Their preferences in order are that board members attend at one of their hubs. The second preference, if you can't attend at a hub, they ask that you attend at a public facility. That can be your public library, that could be a school, although I know schools, there's too much security issues with people coming in the building, I get that. It could be a community college location or something like that. That's their second preference. And then if a member cannot attend at either, then a member can attend remotely at your home or at your office. But the preference is, and it's a very strong preference, that their members are attending in public. I would be happy if we could get you all to just have, like Josh suggested, a quorum in amongst however many locations. We just need to know what locations those are that work for
you. I would say this, Kevin. Champagne's fine for me. Kevin Latos, however, he's got to be 45 minutes, maybe. So I'm a little worried about him, especially since he's not here. So I would assume the two of us would be there if he thought he could make that trip.
Yes, he's also very close to another large member library. However, we've not worked with them, so we would want to hear from him because he's close to Danville before we just assume that we're adding Danville as a location.
I'm sorry, I may have misunderstood. When you say Champaign, are you saying Champaign Library or Champaign Office?
Our office, okay. on Interstate Drive.
Okay, that's fine.
Well, I can attend Edwardsville. That's about 15 or 20 minutes away from me. And I'm astounded how we did it at the beginning and all drove to Effingham every month.
Yes, we did.
And we had a quorum, and every now and then you would have someone who had to call in because they were on vacation or something. And we were able to do it. And it really is good to be able to see people in person and do business in person. But now you're going to check on that, right? Like if we can count places, the three hubs as having a quorum. Is that what you said?
I am sure that any attendance at one of our physical hubs will count towards the quorum, as well as the green dots on this map, Effingham, Decatur, and Mount Vernon, as long as we know ahead of time and advertise that those are public locations for the board meeting on the agenda that we post online. The problem becomes when you attend from a place that the public cannot attend with you. That's where the law gets.
Right. Okay.
Yeah.
Is it one of those situations where I can attend but not vote? If I'm
no, it has it more, has more to do with the quorum.
It's and it's the Open Meetings Act too. You have to be available.
Yeah. Correct. That yeah.
So we're also going to find out if staying by zooming in is still legal too, or if I want, let's say, I could go to my public library here in town and attend. Are we just going to check all these things out then?
So the issue of being able to attend by Zoom, there is a reference in the Open Meetings Act to three reasons why you could attend remotely, correct? But we're not sure, I don't want to put you on the spot here, but we're not sure that exactly applies to library systems. And those reasons are illness, whether you have something related to your job, and was it family?
Family emergency, like so personal illness or disability, employment, travel, and
remote work.
Yeah, public body, business, or family, and other emergencies. So, but personal preference or like a personal vacation do not qualify for remoting into a meeting in the general Open Meetings Act. Now, there are exceptions for systems, and that's where it's not clear exactly where those apply to us, and that's what we're doing. But again, those apply to, well, that applies to establishing a quorum. So it also says that this board can take additional action and additional policy to clarify when members of this board can attend remotely. But you still have to have that quorum established in one of our public buildings. And I think that's pretty clear. And so it's kind of our nice way of saying it's been a great ride zooming in from our individual places, but it's come to an end, I'm afraid. And I'm trying to be nice, but we're probably going to have to pick a green or a blue dot to attend in the future.
Aren't you worried that will cause you to have a hardship of finding people who want to be on the board when it's so easy to just zoom in and attend to things?
It never did before.
Yeah, but we're in a different time now.
Yeah, this is Sarah. Can you hear me?
Yes.
I'm one of those right now. I'm up in Northwest Wisconsin on vacation, so. You know, I'm using vacation days at work, but I'm still zooming into this call to serve on the board. Now, I think in the future, I'll be able to attend up in Champaign, but that is an hour drive for me. And that also means I have to leave work where I'm supposed to be working. So that's where it gets a little tricky for me, is that I have to get permission to leave work early to attend this meeting. And, you know, that wasn't something I knew about when I ran for the board. So, you know, it's just something that I'd have to get permission to do.
And yeah, I would agree that we're putting a burden on folks. So we'd probably need to move to later, even though that's not optimal. It makes sense for people like Sarah that.
Sarah, we have had
15 minutes. No big deal for me, but.
Sarah, we have had community folks attend the meeting from a community college. So if you, when you get back, I mean, I would assume that you would have that connectivity. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, yes. If that would help. We would have to be able to, okay.
I have plenty of high flex technology just in my library that could probably handle this.
That's something I did want to bring up. I have no problem. Like we did hybrid before, essentially when we were in multiple locations in terms of each office was its own camera. Can we get that one like we had at whatever the meeting room was at Carbondale, where it would like track and follow, so you can now. Do we have a budget for that?
We can look at, so the OWL is intended to be connected directly to a laptop or some computer. So we have actual Microsoft Teams rooms and Zoom rooms. We might have something that if the library doesn't have an existing system and it's convenient for, you know, at least two board members, I would say, then we would absolutely invest in the technology to make it work for them. You know, I see Edwardsville up there. They're all sitting kind of at the same end of the room to do that. And you guys can also change your view. You can right click on anybody's window and you can pin it, I believe is the word, and it'll pin it full screen, and then you can unpin it. And that doesn't affect what other people see. That's just your view. So that's a good trick if you want to see who's in this room. Also, as a presenter, as the host of this meeting, I can what's called spotlight our camera for everyone, and then that makes it full screen for everyone in the meeting. This is good when I, like, if we were doing a presentation. So there are some tricks we can use to make it a little better, and you're welcome to change your view from matrix mode into active speaker mode in the top right corner of Zoom, and that might help a little bit too. So just some tricks, and we can go over those more if needed.
Sounds good. Yeah. I was just throwing that out there. Okay. I've pretty much had my say.
Troy, how much time do we have to get this kind of settled? I mean, when will they get back to us as far as like what would be permitted and when we can go try to get more together?
So Linda, what we discussed again internally is that this will likely take the form of either a new policy or a change to something existing. We are already working on, and we know that once we have committees back together in August, we'll be working on the public comment policy piece, because that was tabled by the board in FY23. That's connected. That has a possible connection to maybe changes that need to be made then to the attendance via electronic, our meetings via electronic means. And then there's also bylaws. So if the decision is that the board, that we have to have some language that's, because we're an exception because of our size, our service area, it's however long it takes to get that through policy committee and then through the board. So maybe 2 months.
Okay.
Again, Anne is right. Technically, as far as we read, we're not doing anything wrong, but the value in representing a public agency is public discourse. That's free and open to the public. So that's the direction that we need to be going in. And then, you know, maybe in a month or two, we can have a policy established by the board.
And how will this affect committees if this isn't?
There you go. That's a good question.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. And on the legality or whatever and figuring all of this out, that is my next question, is if the way we're doing it now is deemed not appropriate, then what about all our committees? And then with that, my response is, maybe we need to take a look at, as a board, take a look at our bylaws once those other things are determined, or once we get information back. Maybe the bylaws need to be looked at, or maybe some of the committee meetings need to be at the same spot, you know, same spot. I don't know. I'm just kind of brainstorming on that.
And you're absolutely right. And if it applies to the board, then it will apply to board subcommittees. It will also apply to shared governance. So this isn't something that we take lightly. And again, Troy's right. We were all getting very comfortable with being able to attend from whatever location. So we will be very cautious when we put this together. So for those of you that are new to the board, we have 6 standing committees. However, 2 of those meet regularly. That would be the executive committee and the finance committee. Maybe it impacts committees in terms of what they can and can't do in a committee meeting. So we will be looking at all of that, and I'd like us to be able to get back to you soon, but just the fact that some of you have been able
are willing to attend at our physical locations, our offices now, or at another location like the State Library is huge. That gives us something to start from as we craft policy changes.
Yeah, because Decatur, I'm not in that town after dark. I'm sorry. It's a dangerous town. So
we did our committee meetings prior to the pandemic on Zoom. So is that, I mean, that's how I was introduced to Zoom, was through those board committee meetings. So is that still something that we think we can do?
Yeah, we used to do our committee meetings on the phone with our computers in front, and we would get the things we had to discuss, but we were on the phone, and that
right.
That was our committee meetings, and that was some years ago, and I don't know what you did after that.
So we moved from what Linda's talking about, where we met on the phone, to having a physical location open for that meeting. So one of our offices has always been available when we're back to meeting in person as a location for public comment. So we would have to look at that. And again, we're going to reach out to legal counsel and ask them for their take on this, so that when we move forward, line everything up, because as Ellen said, there's like a list, right, of pieces that have to fall into place and have to be adjusted.
So how did this come up to make this change? I mean, was it because he ended COVID, if the executive orders finally ended? Is that what brought
that
it about?
May 11th statement where they said we're no longer on whatever they called that. That was what I heard. I think it was the 7th when they declared it not an emergency again or something.
Yes, the emergency was over.
So we have about 2 months to kind of figure it out, huh?
Yep.
And get clarification, because.
Right. I think the fact that you were all talking about this and having this conversation, which is why we have it on the agenda tonight, should show the intent to resolve the situation.
Well, and you brought up what Rails is doing. Do you know if they still plan to have those tiers, or do you know?
They're doing that right now.
Okay.
To be fair, too, with Rails, they meet during the day. They meet on the fourth Friday. We're getting all this out. On the fourth Friday of every month at 1:00. They provide a box lunch for members who attend at one of their hubs. They do reimburse for mileage. We do that too. So for any of you who have driven to meetings tonight or in the future, we will make sure that you have access to those forms so you can submit for mileage. So there's that as well.
We any are other- wild though, you know. You don't have to dress up and all that. So you're not in pajamas.
Frank, did you have something?
Yeah. Could there be a survey sent around as to where you could meet, at what center, at what time? For example, I could make it to Edwardsville by 6 p.m. or probably another time as well. And that's where I would usually go if I were going from home. I might go to Mount Vernon if that were an option, but if that'll help move things along, maybe we could fill out a survey and see what you get back.
Good suggestion. Anyone else? Okay. All right. Oh boy. new business, elect Freedom of Information Act officer. Our current officer is me, and I would welcome a nomination for someone else or from someone else. And we will need a motion and a roll call vote for that. Anyone want to volunteer? Troy takes very good care of you, I will tell you that. In fact, he will send you the report.
I'll do it. This is Josh. I make a motion to appoint myself Freedom of Information Act officer.
This is Tammy. I second.
Thank you. Okay, could we have a roll call vote, please?
Karen Bounds?
Yes.
Loretta Broomfield?
Yes.
Frank Buckingham?
Yes.
Ann Chandler?
Yes.
Sarah Hill?
Yes.
Kevin Kelsey?
Yes.
Tammy Krause?
Yes.
Christy Lear?
Yes.
Linda McDonald?
Yes.
Josh Short?
Yes.
Tedesco?
Yes.
Christy Walker?
Yes.
Thank you. Next on the agenda is the Open Meetings Act officer. Our current OMA officer is Ryan Johnson, who's not in attendance tonight. That could be dangerous. Can I have a recommendation? And we need a motion roll call for that.
This is Josh. I motion that we continue to appoint Ryan Johnson as, as Open Meeting Act officer.
It's always dangerous to miss a meeting.
This is Tammy. I second it.
Okay, I hear a second.
I'll second it happily.
Okay. All right. Can we have a roll call, please?
Karen Bounds?
Yes.
Broomfield?
Yes.
Frank Buckingham?
Yes.
Ann Chandler?
Yes.
Sarah Hill?
Yes.
Kevin Kelsey?
Yes.
Tammy Krause?
Yes.
Christy Lear?
Yes.
Linda McDonald?
Yes.
Josh Short?
Yes.
Melissa Tedesco?
Yes.
Christy Walker?
Yes.
Well, that's what Ryan gets for missing the meeting. Okay. Thank you. August committee and board meeting dates, attachment 18.1.
So we include these in your packet in July and in August so that new board members, if you're interested, can see when other committees are attending, when other committees are meeting in the month, as you consider what committee you would like or committees you would like to volunteer for.
And speaking of board committees, we have several active committees that meet between the board meetings. At the beginning of each year, we ask board members to reach out to the board president via email and let me know, in this case, what committees you're interested in. Pick no more than two committees. In August, I will share the list of committee recommendations for your approval. Now, please, if you all pick the same committee, obviously we're not going to be able to do that. So if you're fairly well satisfied, for those of you who've been on the board, if you're fairly well satisfied with the committee that you're on, stay on it, make it much easier. But if you would like to change committees, then again, send me two committees and we'll see what we can do to accommodate you. Okay. Moving on. Destruction of closed session recordings. As per the requirements of the Open Meetings Act, I recommend the following closed session records be destroyed. That from November 23rd of 2021 and January 25th, 2022. We will need a motion and roll call.
So moved. Linda.
Do we have a second?
Second.
Thank you, Kevin. Okay, could we have a roll call, please?
Karen Bounds?
Yes.
Loretta Broomfield?
Yes.
Frank Buckingham?
Yes.
Ann Chandler?
Yes.
Sarah Hill?
Yes.
Kevin Chelsey?
Yes.
Amy Krause?
Yes.
Christy Lear?
Yes.
Linda McDonald?
Yes.
Josh Short?
Yes.
Melissa Tedesco?
Yes.
Christy Walker?
Yes.
I do have a quick question as to I don't see where we're approving executive session minutes. I was wondering why we're not doing that. I know we had one last month and one the month before, and I never see it on agenda.
So we have designated July and January for the review of closed session minutes. So if we had closed session minutes, I believe that are 12 months or 18 months from now or go. Stacey Bouchon has a great chart that she keeps so that we know when these come up and we are aware when that's time. Stacey, could you comment on that?
They get reviewed to whether or not they will stay open or closed at 12 months. And then the recordings are voted on to be destroyed at 18 months.
Okay, but which I understand the 18-month rule. What I'm wondering about is why we are not approving the minutes.
Okay. Is we can't put them in a packet because we would have to go to executive to approve them because they're not public enough for us to discuss them in a, like, to show, like, these are the minutes. So, it would just be an ever ending cycle of going into executive to approve executive minutes and adding more executive sessions in.
We don't approve finance committee meeting minutes here.
No, we're talking about closed session meetings, correct?
Yes. Closed session.
Just closed. Okay.
We don't approve those, and they should be approved like every 6 months, any that you've had. So I was curious because I especially noticed it after we had two. So we're never seeing those minutes.
To be honest, we've not asked the board to approve closed session minutes, but they are reviewed. So when we have our questions for Phil and Zini, we will reach out. We will ask him that as well. We've never done that. So
normally it's the report that goes to the board instead of the minutes from a meeting. So the executive committee gave its report and the finance committee would give its report, and that's in the board meeting minutes. Are those reports correct?
We're talking about closed session minutes.
Of the executive committee or of the board committee?
Either.
Okay.
Of the board.
Okay.
We'll check into it. Okay. Any other questions? All right. I believe we are down to agenda building. This could be a loaded question. What would you like to see on the August board meeting agenda?
We have an audit. I don't want anything else on the agenda.
I was thinking the review of the bylaws, but I think that may come naturally as these other questions are answered. But I think the board really needs to review the bylaws and the structure. And I think if the change of how the meetings are, I think that'd be an excellent time to do that.
Okay. Typically in August, we select members for Ethics Commission and approve the committee recommendations. So those two things will be on there.
And there was one that we talked about two or three months ago about, I think Leslie had said they were checking in into to clarify the language on the bidding. So I didn't know if that would come up at the finance committee.
I'm not sure what you mean about checking language for bidding. I mean, we are following the guidance for bids and quotes from Phil and Zini, if that's what you're referring to.
I think we had an I'll see if I can find that email and send it to you to clarify.
Thank you. Anybody have anything else they'd like to see on the agenda? And I think the audit will be on September's.
Yes, ma'am.
The audit will be on September's, not in August.
Okay, good.
Then you can worry about September, Josh. Okay, hearing nothing else, we will go for public comment. And as before, as of July 25th, 4 p.m., there were no requests for public comment. Do we have any announcements to share with the group? Anybody? Hearing none, I would entertain a motion to adjourn. And since I can't make it, I hope you don't all sit there looking at one another.
I'll make it.
You have it.
I'll second.
Okay, Ann made it, and I believe Kevin said second. All right. Roll call.
Do we need roll call for adjournment?
Do we?
We just stopped. We decided that I don't think we needed to do a roll call on adjournment. But if you want to, you're in charge now.
Everybody runs away. No, I don't want to. So we'll consider the meeting adjourned. And I promise to be a little more on the ball next time. I told you I was a little rusty, and I am. So.